I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. We are on the corner of Vivint and Broadcast House. KSL Broadcast House. And Alex is turning buttons.
Don't worry about it. It's
well, just, it makes me nervous when you touch all the buttons, Alex. So
yeah, sorry.
Getting ready for the Jazz to play Game 5 here. Exciting, nice, lovely evening, and lots of folks in mass coming into the stadium. And they look serious tonight, Alex. They look like they are ready for a show. And that guy right there looks like Orrin Hatch, our senator. I don't think it is, but it does.
I don't think it was either. Still people trying to get in with giant bags into the arena.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
They just don't learn. They don't understand.
So here's the deal, Scott.
Talk to me, Alex.
We've got this Game 5, and we have this we actually saw, and Dallin, who's producing for us tonight here on the corner, said – people were showing up way early tonight, and I thought the same thing. I was like, there are more people here earlier than we saw, because we were out here at 6:45 doing Jeff's show, and I thought, hey, listen, that's kind of wild that that so many people were. That means that there is this air of, I go, oh, that means they feel like they're going to win. And then you said something that you go, or it could be their last time here. And
well, that was Sam.
Oh, that was Sam. It could be their last time. That's why
I get a nervous optimism today. That's what I sense from the mass of folks that there's a, and especially with Kawhi Leonard out, you know, this I don't know, should be a good game for the Jazz.
Well, joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is the Jazz beat writer for KSLSports.com, and he gives us, of course, insight as often as we can get from Ben Anderson joining us on the program. Ben, I think it was game day, or it was during the middle of the game, I saw your tweet when it was that collision that Kawhi had. Said, hey, looked like a bump knee. It doesn't look like anything serious. And then here we are. He's missing at least game five, and it could be much more serious than that. It didn't look very significant at the time.
No, and I was sitting on that end of the floor at Staples Center, so you know, he bonked it and kind of ran off and you know, sat and held it for a second. You realize, okay, he's tweaked it, but he stayed in the game. You know, he went back in and continued to play for a minute and then checked out, and they were 14, and you kind of realized, huh, okay, you know, they're probably safe enough. But Paul George stayed in the game, so you realize, okay, maybe they're being a little bit conservative with him, but probably not a big deal. And then we didn't hear anything yesterday, and I guess, you know, good on the Clippers. They traveled yesterday, and they didn't let it leak that Kawhi Leonard wasn't on the plane, so, you know, that's good PR work from them. So then, of course, we wake up this morning and he's gone, and that's scary because essentially if you go back and look at the video, it's basically a non-contact injury. I mean, he just stepped weird on that knee. Joe Ingles was on the other side of the knee that he actually hurt.
Yeah, it is scary, and it's a tough thing because as a Jazz fan, you're like, okay, good, right? I mean, you hate to say that, but you really want your team to win. What does the loss of Kawhi Leonard mean to this game and to the Clippers tonight?
I mean, he's everything for them. You know, I mean, he's their best player. He's their best offensive player. He's their best defensive player. He kind of sets the pace for them on both ends of the floor. And I mean, that literally, you know, he plays so slow offensively and can get the ball in the half court and get to the free throw line and operate from there, making plays for other guys or shooting in isolation. But the Jazz just really haven't had an answer for it. And then on the defensive end, you know, he's so dangerous off the ball. He's even more dangerous on the ball. He's the guy that really is standing always 2 or 3 feet away from Donovan Mitchell to make sure that if Donovan goes one way or the other, he traps him and pushes him into the other direction and then cuts off the shooters. So he's just he's so dynamic. He's so athletic. He's so smart that he just makes it hard on everyone on the Jazz to try and figure out how to attack this team. And without him, you just lose all that. And those are big losses. You know, that's a hard thing to replace if you're the Clippers.
And the Jazz have had, of course, Mike Conley also ruled out, and that's been, you know, now the fifth game of this series where you go, okay, no Mike Conley, that's been tough for them. But the Jazz certainly go, all right, well, we know exactly now with Kawhi out that there's a certain thing that we can do. How do they attack the Clippers then? What's the thing that you draw up to be able to get the Jazz to be their best version of them without Kawhi in the game and take advantage of that?
Well, now one of the nice things is you can screen onto whoever, you know, Kawhi was supposed to be defending, or you can set a screen, and now all of a sudden you're matched up with their backup player instead of matched up against Kawhi. So you can just hunt matchups so much more, and it's going to make attacking in the pick and roll so much easier, I think. And then it's going to free up a guy like Bojan Bogdanovic, who was drawing Kawhi for so long, to just be a one-on-one player if he wants to. So, you know, Bojan can be really good with the ball in his hands. It's really hard to do. Most people struggle when Kawhi's defending them.
Right.
So when you have that matchup, now that's beneficial. So it really is as simple as just hunting the guy who's going to be stepping in and filling in for him, and we should learn who that is in a couple of minutes.
Is it dangerous to have a player like Kawhi go out, and could the Jazz kind of get complacent, overlook the Clippers in this situation, say, oh, wow, he's out, great, we got this in the bag?
Yeah, you certainly don't want to let your guard down now and say, okay, their best player is gone. That means their scheme is broken. No. Their scheme's going to be dramatically altered. It's, like I said, it's so dependent on what Kawhi Leonard specifically does. But, you know, that's still a scheme that's given the Jazz trouble, really, going back to Game 3. I mean, even when they started running the zone in the second half of Game 3, that's when Donovan Mitchell started to slow down considerably. And I know he was good. I should say that was actually in Game 2. I know he was good in Los Angeles. But that's still a scheme that's worked, and they're still small. And when they play small, it's been hard for Rudy Gobert to get going on both ends of the floor. So there's still definitely challenges for the Jazz. This is not a cakewalk of a game. It's significantly easier, but this is still a really good Clippers game.
Well, they've been able to at least plan a little bit ahead of time to, you know, sort of make up for it. But obviously your best player being out is a massive deal. I mean, the Jazz knew it in Game 1 against Memphis in the last series. But Kawhi is an all-NBA guy beyond, like, you know, what we've seen in some of these other guys that they've faced already. But Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com, joining us here right before the game. As you see Game 5, I mean, this is an important one because you win this one and you still kind of hold serve on that home court advantage, which was massively important in Games 1 and 2.
Yeah, and you've got the mental edge right now. You know, I think you had it after the first two games. You lost it after Game 3. You clearly didn't have it in Game 4, and I didn't think they were going to have it going into Game 5 now. But then they lose Kawhi. You're back home. You realize, hey, this series is wide open. Mike Conley might be back in the next few games. And you get that mental edge back of playing two of the next three in Salt Lake City if it takes that long. That's a huge plus for the Jazz. So I think that's a huge bonus for them if they can use that to their advantage. And I think that's going to be one of the nice things about being back here at home. And the Clippers are going to be concerned, you know, if they lose this game without Kawhi. They recognize they could go back to L.A. and get eliminated as well. So the Jazz got to make sure they take care of home court advantage here so you don't blow that edge. Because even if you're more talented than them, let's say Kawhi doesn't play in Game 6, if you lose Game 5, you're not going in there super confident that you can beat them even if you're a more talented roster.
Looking at the long-range plan, of course, the Jazz want to continue through the playoffs. Is it, I understand the home court advantage, but is it advantageous at this point to make sure you win tonight and then go close out the series on Friday just to be able to be ready and rested for a Phoenix team?
Yeah, I mean, I think Donovan Mitchell's ankle could use as much rest as possible. I think the ability to game plan for a team in the Suns would be advantageous. And then look, with Chris Paul testing positive for COVID-19 today and potentially being out for, you know, 10 days, the sooner you get that series started, the better. Mm-hmm. If you can start it on Tuesday and you play two games potentially without Chris Paul, you know, that's a huge advantage. If you go up 2-0, even if Chris Paul comes back for games 3 through 7, you only have to beat him twice out of 5 times. You know, that's
right.
A huge advantage. The Jazz would love to have that opportunity. So the sooner that series can start, the better it's going to be.
Well, we were talking about that today, and again, that's one of those things where you go, you don't want to, you know, mire in other people's misery, but at the same time, any edge helps, and you can't, you know, you can only affect what's in front of you and do what you can. They win that game tonight, lock it out in L.A., you start playing that thing, it's just a massive deal, and that's part of it. Ben, covering the game tonight, you'll see all of the information that you need. Follow him on Twitter. You can also just go to KSLSports.com and get all of the coverage as it's happening right there from Ben. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us. Have fun at Game 5 tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's take the break. Hey, when we come back, we've got stuff to talk about here. I've got that sound from Mike Conley talking about his hamstring. I'm still confused about the hamstring because I'm not saying he's
like
not
where
hurt.
It is or what it is.
Like,
or
what part of the body is that? Does it really ham? No, I want to know. Like, is there something in what he said in his press conference today that says I probably could have gone tonight, but maybe some of that Chris Paul news, or I mean, some of the Kawhi Leonard news maybe affects. Like, hey, maybe we don't push it as much.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back live outside Vivint Smart Home Arena. It is KSL's Unrivaled right here on KSL News Radio.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.